with a form of dementia. The law as it is was drawn up under 1996 legislation, the Powers of Attorney Act, but there have been significant delays in updating this legislation. With us in studio to discuss the issue is Sligo-based solicitor Michael Monaghan. Good morning to you, Michael.
Morning, Niall. Morning, listeners.
I hope I've explained it briefly and somewhat accurately there.
The main message I want to get across today, Niall, is that with this change, which is finally coming in on the 26th of April, is there's an old system which will operate up to that date. After that, the new system will operate. And if I get nothing else across this morning, apart from the fact that if anybody feels that they need to do this, put this in place for themselves or a member of their family, would they please do it before the 26th of April? Because the changes, we're not quite sure how it will operate, but we do know it will be more complicated, and we do know it will be more expensive because it's a longer procedure. Could I just explain now one thing?
Sure.
People throw around the ideas of powers of attorney. Can we separate what they call a general power of attorney? If Niall decides to go to New Zealand, but he needs something signed in his absence, he could give me a general power of attorney, so I can sign a document on his behalf. And that's a general power. Now, park that, right? Now, an enduring power of attorney means that a person feels that if they're not able to manage their affairs going into the future, that they would give that power to somebody else. Now, obviously, in Ireland, we still have family loyalties. And, for example, a husband might give it to a wife, a wife might give it to a husband, and appoint that person. Now, I need to contrast the existing system up to the date in April with what's coming in. The existing system is reasonably simple. It is at two stages. Number one, if you wish to put this enduring power in place, you will get your doctor to certify that you're able to make or give such a power to somebody, and you get your solicitor to actually say the same, that you're of a sound mind to do it. Now, it's sent to two notice parties, again, perhaps maybe members of a family, to say if there's any problem or you object to this, come back within 2 weeks. If nothing happens, it lies down then a bit like a will, and nothing happens. So at a future date, if somebody decides that, well, you know, Niall Delaney is not in the best of shape and we need to, and whatever about families, families aren't too bad. The ones I am always concerned about are the single aunts and uncles, you know, who's going to look after Auntie Molly, you know, and her affairs and everything, and she's got land or property, or, and who will look after her, right? And if somebody decides who's been appointed that Auntie Molly is not managing her affairs, then the first process is repeated, and the note of a doctor is certifies the person isn't quite able to manage their affairs, and then that's lodged, and again the notice parties are notified, and if they object, and then after that it's lodged with what was now the Wards of Court office, and they would issue a cert to say that the person appointed has got full power. Okay, that's the existing system. Reasonably straightforward, two steps.
So why do they need to change it then? Has it been subject to abuse? Is that
because
the whole?
Yes, now there was some word that the Law Reform Commission, I think, looked at this entire area as they're obliged to do, and they said, well, maybe there's too much power being given to the donor, and maybe we should allow the person to who was given away the power to be much more involved. And maybe some people need it very badly. Maybe some people don't need it, right? But again, it has got slightly complicated. It started in 2015, and we're now in 2023. And it's only now coming in because bits have been added, and, you know, international policies have been incorporated into it. And it now, and there's an office in Dublin set up, where it, instead of the, I don't really wish to deal with the new rules because I could talk a separate program on those, right? But I just want to get across the point that if somebody thinks this needs to be done, that they should try, as if at all possible, even with Easter intervening, try and get it done between now and the new system coming in.
Well, you always think that legislation being updated is done so for the right reasons, and you don't expect maybe, well, whatever about the expensive of, you're saying it's going to be more expensive but more complicated as well. But the whole idea behind the upgrading was, as you say, to give the person concerned, in some cases they're elderly people, more say in how their affairs are managed, notwithstanding any
yes.
difficulties they may have or yes. personal circumstances they may have.
That would be true, but we don't know how it's going to operate in practice, because some of the regulations haven't been brought in yet, some of the rules, it's a lot of this used to go to the High Court if there was any need to clarify anything. Now it's been transferred back to the Circuit Court jurisdiction. The Circuit Court rules haven't been brought into place. Again, with as you probably know, with Irish legislation, when we passed the Act, we don't always bring it into force because it yeah. needs a statutory instrument from the minister to actually bring parts of it into operation.
It can be incredibly difficult for families to make these decisions, can't it, Michael?
Again, it's the single people, Niall, are the problem. Not the problem. They're the ones that people should be concerned about, because yeah. again, families tend to look after their own. And if somebody, you know, if parents, for example, have their bank accounts in joint names, that solves a lot of problems, because banks are very wary about younger people being on joint accounts with elderly people. You will not get any money out of a person's bank account unless they see the actual power from the Wards of Court office, the actual document.
Yeah. So as you say, the deadline now, you're saying that it's 26th of April, it changes, isn't that
yes.
right? So if you're in a situation where you might need to enact the powers of attorney, now is the time to do it.
Well,
otherwise it gets a lot more complicated.
It's easier, Niall. It's an easier process. And in fairness to the system which is now set up, they said anything that's dated before the 26th of April, that will operate under the old system. There was some doubt that yeah. that what was going to happen with the changeover, but they will operate. So if all the documents are actually prepared and signed and dated before that date, they will operate with that old system. I should say, Niall, that whereas people prepare part one of this, a lot of cases, unfortunately, part two is never operated because somebody might die in the interim. So the full power of attorney never comes into place.
Yeah. And the 6% figure I mentioned, is that commented upon? Is that a high figure or a low figure? Or
I think it's probably related to wills. I mean,
yeah.
people again have a bad feeling about, you know, I must be on the way out if I am making a will. But I think it's getting to the stage now, a society, simply, we all grow older, that people should do the first stage of a power of attorney when they're doing a will and just have it done, have it there.
Right, okay. And for those in the situation, do you talk about get in contact with legal representative and
yeah,
get
whatever.
It done, you're saying?
I should say one of the better things I see in this new legislation is that the Advanced Care Directive,
yeah.
It's not going on a statutory basis from what I can see, but that means if you want to outline what's to be done, do you need, you know, if you get ill, that you're not to be resuscitated. But there's some provision made for that, right, that it is... it is recognisable if somebody carries out such a document, like that's the famous living will you'd hear about, what's to be done if I get ill and I'm not able to manage my health or anything like that.
Right, okay, 26th of April, so get it done, you're saying, before. And we may get you back again and talk about the new Act, which is 7 years in the making, as you say.
It will have to come in, and it will have to come in fully. But the general consensus is that it will be slower. There's much more documentation. There's an office set up in Dublin where everything has to be sent to certify, rather than it lying down like the present system, and until somebody needs it in a future date. All the initial documents are all sent to an office in Dublin called the Director's Office, and. Yeah. That they will certify that it is actually registered in their office.
Right, okay. Michael, thanks for coming in and alerting people to that.
Right,
and we'll talk to you again when the new legislation comes to pass. That's Solicitor Michael Monaghan there. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing from a local man. He'll be telling us about how he has been greatly helped by his ongoing involvement with the Sligo Neurology Centre.
Ocean FM.
Northwest Today, thanks to audiologyservices.ie.